Following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Campus of LCMSU, everyone. I'm your host, the Chancellor.
I don't know what that means.
No one knows what it means. Provocative.
Ooh. Master Marcus Zill. We are joined here today in the Student Union with Deaconess Shayna Mitchell. How are you doing today, Shayna?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing pretty good. We're actually, we're both a little tired, not going to lie, right? After we both traveled yesterday, we had an election. People stayed up. So a lot of people stayed up watching the election results till the middle of the night last night. So I thought, what better thing to do to talk about on a day after the election, especially maybe one with this cycle, than a topic like depression. We are here to lift your spirits, regardless of how you're feeling today. No, in all seriousness, it just happened to work out that way. But first, I got a better reason that for why to talk about depression. But tell our listeners, where are you from? Where are you calling in from? Where do you work? You work with college students, and where is that? Where are you at?
I am in Muncie, Indiana. I grew up in Northern California and came to Indiana for the Deaconess program at the seminary in Fort Wayne. And after completing that, got into campus ministry, and I've been at Grace Lutheran Church in Muncie, Indiana for 8 years. We have less than a mile down the street, Ball State University. Chirp, chirp. Go Cardinals.
Go Cardinals.
And then 45 minutes away, we also have Taylor University, which is a small Christian college. And we're very blessed to have some students from there that come to our church.
So you're a Northern California gal, and you went to, where did you do your undergrad?
Concordia Irvine.
Oh,
so there's a big culture shock going to Indiana.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And but you have been one of our, you've been a real mainstay in a lot of our campus ministry circles, even serving now as a member of the Synod's Board for National Mission. How many people are on this board? 12, 16, 45?
10.
10, okay.
I believe 10.
But Shayna serves as the kind of campus liaison for, they kind of assign you to the different various mission areas to kind of work with and keep an eye on and make sure you're familiar with what's going on in the various areas, and which is great because you and I, I'm trying to think, we've probably known each other for like 15 years or something. I don't know how long it's been.
Oh, yeah.
But anyways, great to have you with. Tell us a little bit real quick before we get started about what's a typical week look like there at Ball State in terms of campus ministry with your students?
Yeah. Well, today we have kind of an interesting activity going on. This evening on campus, there is going to be a panel discussion of leaders from different Abrahamic religions. So we'll have a Jewish rabbi and a Muslim leader and a Roman Catholic priest. And I think there's one other Christian. So it should be an interesting discussion, especially given that today was the election. It's called Ask Anything, so college students can ask anything to the panel members. We're going to go to that and then do a debrief about it. This weekend, we're really blessed that one of our alumni is coming back. He's a seminarian at Concordia Theological Seminary, and he'll be preaching at Grace this Sunday.
Now, who's that?
David Wardeman. He's a wonderful young man in the Army Reserves also.
Fantastic.
Looking to be a chaplain. Yeah.
You guys have had you've had a number of students. People don't realize, I don't think, how many young men and in some cases young ladies decide to go off to seminary as a deaconess or a seminary student. You've had a few from there. That's fantastic.
Yeah, since I've been here, I believe we've had 8, and they've gone to both seminaries for MDiv, deaconess program, and we also had one young man go to the master's program at Fort Wayne. He's hoping to be a professor of theology at a secular university.
Really? Well, that is, you know what? I keep telling people we need to invade our secular universities with quality professors in all the disciplines. But I'll have to scratch your head and get his information. I might be interested in talking to him about that because
yeah,
you don't normally hear, "Hey, I want to teach it. I want to teach theology at a secular university." In fact, I don't think I've ever heard that. And so that's fantastic, and that is kudos to you and all the folks there at Grace Lutheran Church, which has been a tremendous supporter of campus ministry over the years.
They have been, and before I was here, they had sent many, many young men to seminary. I couldn't tell you the numbers, but...
So many. You sent one of your predecessors in campus ministry, Pastor Pete Cage, to Fort Wayne to be a pastor at the mother church there. And so a great history there with Grace and helping to supply men and ladies for service in the church. And I am quite confident that you have been an incredible witness in that regard. You know, you simply have, if I keep singing your praises and people think I'm kissing up to you since you're on the board for National Mission, which I am totally capable of doing, but there's also good reason you have been one of our stalwarts in campus ministry and Grace has been supportive over the years and we appreciate that. I'm really intrigued by this thing that's going on. Ask anything. I love that from a conference planning perspective because you don't have to have anything developed in advance. And I almost wonder if there's something there for us as we think about how we, you know, sometimes we always try to come up with the topics that we think young people want to talk about. And in reality, they just need an outlet to ask their own questions. I mean, I think there's something to that. Because that sounds intriguing to me. Ask anything. Well, if I could ask anything of a Jewish priest.
It is, and they set it up. Someone smarter than me figured out how to get students to text and tweet things that we can then run through a filter and see what the most popular questions are and then pose those. And it should be interesting,
Well, that
it's sponsored by our Council of Religious Advisors on campus.
Well, that is fantastic, and kudos to you and your students for taking advantage of that. All right, enough fun stuff. Let's talk about depression.
Yes.
Actually, it's quite a serious topic. And at our roundtable, we just had a campus roundtable to talk about all the issues facing our young people, and one of them that keeps coming up continuously is this issue of depression. More of our young people than ever before are dealing with depression. Why do you think that is, and what is depression?
Well, depression is a disorder that causes a persistent feeling of sadness or loss of interest, particularly for men. They experience the loss of interest. For women, they have that too, but usually there's more guilt for women. Mm. And it's very persistent. This isn't just like a week or two. It's long-lasting, and it can happen at any age, but it often begins in the teens or early 20s, which is about the age of our college students.
Sure.
So it is very relevant for them. Historically, our counseling center on campus has said the number one thing students come in for is depression. And for the first time, that changed this year. It's anxiety, which is depression's best friend.
Sure.
So not a huge surprise to there. The two are very related.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and when you think about all of the pressures that our young people have going off to college, the newness, the pressure of, you know, in an era where it's harder to get jobs, what am I going to do with my life? Separation, anxiety, from being at home, from those that you love and all the anchors in your life, and you go off to this crazy environment and you start wondering, who am I? Why am I here? What am I supposed to do with my life? It's not really all that surprising that you would be filled with anxiety. And so this is, do you think our young people, do they try to mask this in ways? And, I'm not depressed.
I think some do and some don't. Some are open about it. It's something that is taboo, but I do think it's becoming less taboo. And it can be, it's very related to our body chemistry. Also, this is an age when your body chemistry is changing, your hormone levels are changing. And before, when you lived at home with mom and dad, you maybe didn't have to develop great independent coping skills, but once you're removed from your nuclear family, you really do need to, and you might not have those tools to cope with all of the challenges that you're facing.
Now, when you say it's been taboo, what you're getting at is that, you know, it has kind of a stigma of it. Well, nobody wants to. Oh, yeah. Hi, I'm Mark Azil. I'm depressed. Mm-hmm. It's not something you want to put on a resume, right?
Usually you don't put it on a resume. I don't know anyone that has.
Went to school here during these years, depressed from 1987 through what? No, you don't do that. But, you know, we live in this, you know, I see a lot in this social media culture where the whole goal, it seems of, and I think everybody gets tired of it. Everybody wants to put on their best face. You only post stuff on Facebook or Twitter or whatever that is kind of like makes you look good. I mean, we crop our photos out. So everybody puts out their best front to make it look like they got all their act together. And in reality, we don't. And you add all these pressures, and then you add the fact that we're sinful human beings to boot. That's quite a toxic mix.
It is. I have heard before that on social media, you got to keep it positive. Keep it positive. But life isn't 100% positive. We do experience pain and suffering. And as Christians, if we don't talk about suffering, we're not talking about sin and all that Christ came to redeem. So it's important that we do talk about it. But some of the symptoms of depression are easily perceived as character flaws, which I think is part of the taboo. Someone who's depressed and has lost interest in the things that were once important to them might seem lazy or irritable or unreliable. But depression itself isn't a character flaw. It's a medical condition that is very affected by our body chemistry.
And we should be careful. This isn't confined to young people. This is a show about and for college students. But even going back, in our LCMS history, you know, we tend to go back to our very roots of our church body into the 1840s and earlier. And didn't some of our most influential leaders deal with depression themselves?
They did. C.F.W. Walther is probably a name that is familiar to a lot of Lutherans. He was our first president of the LCMS, and he struggled with depression throughout his life. He did have one particular notable breakdown after the death of a child. The grief was compounded by exhaustion from overwork. He had just crazy fundraising responsibilities for a seminary addition. He was traveling all over the country, and he burnt out and became very depressed. And I'll just read for you a quote from a letter that he wrote that I think really articulates what it's like to be depressed. He says, "My own relationship with God and Lord filled me with deep aversion and vexation. It appeared to me as though God had cast me away from his countenance. It seemed as though he regarded me as a rejected instrument, as if I were not a worker, but a stumbling stone in his vineyard, which he must finally cast aside. It appeared to me as though God desired to take away all the blessings through a horrid end of my own effectiveness." Hmm. So he started actually thinking and feeling that the Lord took away his effectiveness. He was no longer someone who could be a blessing to others. And the second president of the LCMS, Frederick Winneken, also struggled with depression, and he did write about it to Walther. And you can even read these letters yourself. The Concordia Historical Institute has them, and if you call them, they'll send you copies. It's real interesting. But Winneken suffered from depression and hypochondria. He said, "I am gripped ever more powerfully by its suffocating arms so that I am happiest when I have nothing to do with anyone." There's a profound sense of isolation. Depression is very insular.
Yeah, and Winnikin was the great circuit rider guy, right?
Yes, he was an amazing missionary.
He was always by himself.
Yeah, he was.
You know, what's interesting with that is, I even know, this will maybe get a little too personal, I don't know if I struggled with depression myself, but when I left my campus ministry, my former campus ministry at the University of Wyoming, and took this position and became the chancellor of LCMSU, I always say that because my boss, Bart Day, always loves to hear that. I can hear him in the building going, "You're fired. You ain't no chancellor." But, you look at these people, they're bigger than life, and they're doing great things for the church, and they seem like they have their act together, and they're incredibly resilient and willing to confess the faith. I mean, take Luther mm-hmm. himself. You know, this new PBS documentary is going to come out in the 500th year, and I don't think it's going to shy away from the fact that Luther, while they maybe didn't know what to call these things all the time, struggled with a lot of these same types of things. We are not isolated from these problems just because we're faithful confessional Lutherans, are we?
No, we're not at all. And even in Scripture, we see saints who struggled with this darkness. I think the most notable one is probably Elijah. 1 Kings 19, we read about how he was fleeing the evil Queen Jezebel. And he gets to the point where in his stress level and anxiety that he actually wants to die. Hmm. And he asks the Lord to take away his life. He says, "I'm no better than my fathers." So
here you're on a college campus. You've got college students who are a key target area for people that might develop this because of the situation in their life, 18 to 25. They're right in that prime age group where you might see this develop. If you're a college student and maybe you notice this in someone else or notice it in yourself too, what are some tips to help guide you to, how do you reach out to somebody that's struggling with this or even to help them see it? Maybe they don't even realize that they're depressed.
Yeah, I think the first thing to do is to listen. Really, really listen. And you don't need to give your friend a resume of why you're qualified to listen. You just need to listen and be okay with the silence. And if your friend is silent and you're getting nervous because we're uncomfortable with silence, just count in your head, not out loud, and listen to the silence, because it can be hard to muster up the words to talk about for your friend. And when they do talk, draw more out of them. Ask thoughtful questions. Ask, how is this affecting you as a student? Can I pray with you about this? And then pray with them, in front of them. Let them hear your prayer. Listening is definitely the first thing.
And frankly, we're not very good at listening in general.
No, we're not.
And part of listening, too, it would begin before even saying, "Okay, I'm here to listen to you." You have to have a relationship with someone to even notice that something maybe isn't quite right, what kind of things would you look for? What would be some telltale kind of things that would make you think, I wonder if they're, depressed?
Mm-hmm. Well, you do want to listen to what they say. If they're saying, "I don't feel like going to intramurals," and intramurals used to be their favorite thing. But you also want to listen to their nonverbals in a way. Notice, are they missing a lot of class? Are they losing sleep? Are they
skipping church?
Having
you
trouble getting their
you haven't seen them at church for 3 or 4 weeks or something.
Yeah, having trouble getting their homework done when maybe they used to be a great student. So changes in those behaviorals, and sometimes it's hard to see in college students because their lifestyle normally is so abnormal. And so it's important to ask those questions. about changes. You know, have you noticed a change in your sleeping or your eating or exercise or getting to class? Those types of things. Okay. Because depression makes it very hard to function. And we're also listening for guilt. We talked about some great leaders who struggled with depression, and our own student leaders can struggle with it, which can make it even harder to show up on Sunday. You know, if you're the LCMSU chapter president and you're struggling with anxiety, depression, and so, you know, you're not completing the duties of your office, you're not being that person to welcome the new students and follow up with them, you might feel so guilty about it that you don't show up on Sunday anymore because you don't want to face that guilt.
But, you know, we also, I know since I brought up, you know, I don't know if I struggled with depression or not, but I, you know, it's been a transition for me for a couple of years going from doing something that I love. I thought I was going to be buried in the floorboards of the chancel at St. Andrews in Laramie. I loved it so much, what I was doing there. And, you know, we're good at masking things, you know. You know, and church workers and others are very good at this. We just rise to the occasion and do what we need to do. And then beneath mm-hmm. it is there can be some darkness. And so you really have to know someone, too, in order to listen to them.
You do.
Okay.
You do. Get to know them. Make that time investment.
So what, how do you know, let's say you do that, you're listening, you're like, wow, this is deeper. I don't know if I, this is bigger than what I am equipped to be able to help my friend with, or what, how do you know when and where to refer someone that's struggling with something that's beyond maybe what you can help them with?
Well, if it's really persistent, you know, if your friend maybe applies for a job, doesn't get it, and is bummed out about it, that's pretty normal. But if that depression is persistent for weeks and maybe even months, you definitely want to refer. If you see their lifestyle changing in a way that is affecting them negatively. So if they're missing a lot of class or work, you do want to refer them to some type of help. Because that hopeless anxiety can be treated. You know, there are ways to cope with it. And we do have skilled professionals like counselors and psychiatrists who can address these needs, and doctors. And if you don't know where to refer, a good starting place is to ask your pastor or deaconess or DCE, a church worker, you know, where should I refer? Because they probably know. They've probably referred people before, and they know on campus even, you know, who in the counseling center on campus is going to be a good fit.
Right, because it can be a little bit like the old proverbial box of chocolates in terms of what you kind of get if you just thumb through the yellow pages and just pick a counselor too. So you got to be a little
careful. Yeah.
So what?
Yeah, any type of healthcare thing.
We just have a couple minutes here, a little less than that. What mm-hmm. what ultimately, you know, what's the final tip that you can give? Beyond that, what is the most important thing to keep our mind on in this regard?
Well, the third thing you want to do is to point to Christ, because that's one thing you can do and you should do that a medical professional isn't going to do. You know, that's not really their job. Mm-hmm. They're providing a safe place to talk and heal and learn coping techniques, possibly administer some types of prescriptions. But your role in the body of Christ is to share Christ with your friends, whether they're depressed or not, but especially when they're brokenhearted. Also to maybe encourage them to share what their struggle is with their pastor. You could say, hey, is it okay if I talk to Pastor Mackey and let him know that it'd be good to call on you? You know, we have older members in our congregation who struggle with health issues that prevent them from getting to church on Sunday morning, and he visits them. If you're having a health issue that's preventing you from hearing God's word and receiving his gifts, I know he would be happy to visit you and sit down and listen to you.
Well, these are wonderful words of advice on a very kind of a heady topic, a very kind of a It's not an easy thing to talk through, but it's something that we need to increasingly kind of talk more and be more aware of. And thank you for being with us today to help us kind of begin that process of thinking through these things. And of course, the wonderful reminder that ultimately, like we say, college is tough. You need Jesus. Will help. So thank you for being with us today, Shayna.
Thank you. It's a joy to talk about this, ironically, but I know Christ is near the brokenhearted, and he redeems our broken flesh, including our brain chemistry.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you.
Well, that's all we have time for here in the Student Union. Check us out at lcmsu.org. And college students, college is tough. You need Jesus, we'll help.